Amen. Thanks. God bless you. Thank you, Abby. Are you guys ready to show the video clip for tonight? We're showing the movie God's Not Dead. How many of you have not seen God's Not Dead yet? Oh, you need to be here tonight. Even if you have seen it, it's worth seeing again. I thought as being part of Back to School, this would be an excellent movie for us to see. So if we could, we'd watch them. Should give some more announcements. Can you find the right one on there? Isn't it on there? It's stuck and it won't play. That's what we get for buying the DVD right from the company. And maybe if they didn't get it out, they can let me know. I'll go on and give you some announcements. First of all, tonight, that movie, Come Bring a Friend. It'll be great. It's really a great movie. It's one of the best movies that I've seen. Probably my favorite movie since Facing the Giants. It's that good. And then Wednesday night, there is not going to be youth group for the next couple of weeks. Pastor Josh and Brittany are on vacation, but there will be adults, and the youth are welcome to join the adults as we're studying the life of David. And then the WMs are meeting Women's Ministries September 8th at 6:30 p.m. here at the church, and all gals are welcome to join them. And then we're going to have an all-church game night September 12th at 6:30. You can bring a board game and a snack or come play whatever you'd like to do. We thought, you know, we haven't had as many get-togethers for the whole church as we've had in the past, and so we'd like to do that starting in September again. And then Men's Conference, it's not in your bulletin, but guys, I wanted to give you a heads up on this in case you needed to ask off for work. It's the last weekend in September. I believe it's the 26th and the 27th. There is a poster on the back window about it. There is a cost on there, but I can pretty well guarantee you that you won't have to pay anything if you want to sign up, or just let me know. We don't have a sign-up sheet yet, but let me know if you would like to go. I don't want any guys to not be able to go because of money. I think this would be a great time for the guys to be able to bond together and have a great time. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that in case you needed to make some plans, take off from work, ask your wives, you know, and finish those honey-do lists or something and gain some favor to be able to go. So that's out there for you. All right, are we going to do it or not? 1 minute. I want to thank the ladies for purchasing the supplies for the backpacks and for everyone who came Wednesday night to put those backpacks together. They got all of these backpacks assembled in 16 minutes. That was some pretty good organization. I wasn't there. That might be part of the reason. No. But they just had it all together, and I want to thank them for putting that all together. We've been wanting to do this to reach out to the children, and here's an opportunity that kind of fell into our laps. Are we getting ready to try it? All right. All right.
From Pure Flex, the producers of God's Not Dead, comes a story of...
I don't know. On the DVD, it said trailer, so I don't know. We could have downloaded our own. Well, let me just bring the message to you this morning. You'll have to come out and trust us that the movie's good and come and see it tonight. Yeah, so it's really, really worth seeing, really good. It'll strengthen your faith, and especially as our kids go back to school and they're confronted with some false philosophies, and they can have some tools to stand on. Ours is not a blind faith. Ours is very trustworthy, and you'll be blessed by it. I want to speak to you today on how to be the parent of a happy child. And there's no children's church today, so I won't be long. I don't think I have the much strength to go too long anyway. But our idea has really been a vision of mine for a long time, for ever since I started the ministry. I believe that God gave me the final scriptures in the Old Testament, where it says that he would send Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest he smite the earth with a curse. And that prophecy was actually fulfilled in John the Baptist. John the Baptist gave that as the reason for his coming, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And I believe with all my heart that what John the Baptist did for the first coming of Jesus, the church should do for the second coming of Jesus. And that is, we need to turn the hearts of family members back together. The hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of children to the fathers and the mothers. You know, that warning is ominous, lest I smite the earth with a curse. And we see the curses today because of the breakdown of the family. And what is taking place in our culture is no good at all. In fact, just this last week, you might have heard, I don't know if you've heard of the TV show Sister Wives, but this polygamous couple had to leave Utah because they were in danger of being imprisoned because he had five wives. And just this last week, the court says, that's okay. You can move back to Utah and we will not prosecute you. And we see the breakdown of the family. We see the ideals of the family that are going against God's ideals and God's truths. And so we really need to listen to what God has to say and turn our hearts toward each other. So how do we become the parents of happy children? That's the question before us this morning. And the key verse, the key text that we want to look at is Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the message this morning. Pray, Lord, that even today that the hearts of parents would be knit with the hearts of their children. They would turn to each other. Lord, if there's any estranged relationship here this morning, Lord, that you would bring healing and restoration. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are to learn the things of life primarily in the family. God gave the family before he gave the government or the schools. And God gave the Ten Commandments primarily for the family and not the government and not to industry. But he gave it primarily to the family. But of course, we know that a nation is built up of families. And so we build the nation one family at a time. We can't do much to change the nation, but we can by reaching our own families
and making them godly. And understanding the purpose for our homes. God gave us homes for learning, for living. And by that I mean we need a place to live, but we need a place where our deepest spiritual, emotional, and physical needs of life are met. And then God gave us homes for lasting. And what I mean by that is what the commandment says, that if we want to last as a nation, we're going to have to do it through the home. Listen to the scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, as goes the home, so goes the nation. As goes the home, so goes the nation, ultimately. And so today I'm going to be speaking to the parents. I don't want to put you under some kind of burden or anything like that. I want to give you just some things that I have learned in order to help you succeed and be a better parent or even a grandparent. And again, I'm reminded of the scripture, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I remind you that that is a proverb. It is a general principle. It brings general results. In other words, I know some godly parents who didn't bring up godly children, and vice versa. I knew some ungodly parents who somehow had godly children. But some have done their best, and we raise our children to the best that we know how and the best that we believe God's word instructs us, and yet they don't turn out the way we want them to always. You know why that is? It's because there's a four-letter word that's involved. W-I-L-L, will. They have a will of their own. Have any parents ever noticed your children had a will of their own? How many of you parents ever had a will of your own? You ever raised a strong-willed child? Maybe you were a strong-willed child yourself. So we have some scripture, though, that we want to look at. And realize today, don't feel like a failure. You know, God raised two children. They didn't actually turn out so well at the beginning either, Adam and Eve. Now, my wife had, and I had 10 children. None of them are perfect, and they don't have perfect parents. But I'm reminded of the young preacher who said when he started out, he had 4 sermons on the family and no children. And then he got children and he had to burn all of his sermons on the family. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out, and then life teaches us some other lessons. And, you know, I've been on both stages now. I'm an industrial strength grandfather. I'm able to look back and see some of the things I've done right, some of the things I've done wrong, some of the things I've learned, some of the things I'm still learning, some of the things that, because of preparing the message this morning, reminded of that I stopped doing. And so there's place here for all of us. Whether you have children that are small or children that are grown, I hope you receive something from the message this morning. So how can you raise happy children? And I'm going to give you all of these in L's to help you remember. Now, I admit that a couple of them are going to be a little bit of a stretch when we get to it, but it'll help us remember, okay? Number one is simply love them. This is top of the list. The most important thing, number one, is to love them, to understand what love really is. Love is the kind of love that we receive of God and that we pass on to our children. Now, how do we do this? One of the ways is through love languages. I'm so glad that in growing kids God's way, we learned about love languages. And according to Dr. Gary Chapman, we speak different love languages. He worked as a marriage counselor for over 30 years, and he identified 5 major love languages. This is the way people want to be shown love to. Now, you might have 2 or 3 of these stick out more than the others, but all of us have at least one of these things that's very important to us. And our children do too. Now, I would say, though, that it's much harder to discover the love language of your child, because your child wants love in all of those ways. And they demonstrate love in all those ways. But as they grow and as they mature in life, one or two of those languages is going to become more predominant than others. They will speak it more than they speak the others. Or they will want it spoken to them more than the others spoken to them. Words of affirmation. Good job. Pat on the back. You can do it. Number two, quality time. Just spending time together. You don't have to be doing much, but you're together. Just spending quality time together. Third is receiving gifts. Four is acts of service. Just doing things for them. And five is physical touch. Physical touch and closeness. I want to say a little bit more about this last one, because we've kind of shied away from this one. And I know it's not in my nature, really, to be a huggy kind of person either. But one of the best bumper stickers that I have ever seen is, kids need hugs, not drugs. And maybe if kids had more hugs, there wouldn't be such a drug problem. And I'm reminded in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son, a grown man, when he came home after he had been away from his father and spent his inheritance and did his time living a life of sin. The Bible says that his father fell on his neck and kissed him, welcomed him home. I would say that your child, whether they would admit it or not, like to have a hug, like to have you put your arms around their neck. It's a biblical thing to do. Now, they might act like they don't want you to touch them, especially if their friends are around. You know, if it's in public, they might kind of pull back. Can I tell you, just do it anyway. And they may say, "Oh, Mom and Dad, that's all right." But you show them that you love them. They need to be touched affectionately, supportively, prayerfully, playfully, tenderly. And by the way, guys, let your children see you hugging your wife and kissing your wife. And they might say, "Oh, Mom, Dad, gross." And walk into the next room. But they need to see that you affirm your love one for another. There's a way to discover your child's language. I'm going to give these to you briefly here this morning, but number one, observe how your child expresses love to you. Watch your child. He's speaking his own language. And this is particularly true of a young child who's very likely to express love to you in the language he desires most to be expressed love back. The second thing is, observe how your child expresses love to others. If you know your child is making crafts or for relatives or wanting to take presents to classmates or a teacher, that could indicate that their primary love language is gift giving. And then number three, listen to what your child requests most often. If your child asks you questions like, "How do I look, Mommy? What do you think of my drawing? Or do you think I did well at practice today?" Well, then their love language might be words of affirmation. Notice what your child most frequently complains about. "Mom, Dad, you never have time for me." Or, why don't we play games anymore? "We never do things together," would be indicative of quality time. And then number five, give your child a choice between two options. For example, a dad might say to his son, "I have some free time Saturday. Would you like me to fix your bike? Or would you rather we go to the park together and shoot some hoops?" The choice would be between acts of service and quality time. A mother might say, you know, I have some time. Would you like me to make you a new dress? Or would you rather just spend the time together today putting a puzzle, just the two of us? And you give the choice between gifts and quality time. But demonstrate your love. Demonstrate your affection to both your sons and daughters. And don't stop when they reach their teenage years. And don't stop when they reach even their adult years. Begin to continue to speak words of affection and appreciation. Second thing under this category of loving them is to bless them. Is to bless them. And this convicted me because I used to do this all the time. And I haven't done it in years. But I used to gather the family around and have them kneel. And I would place my hands on them. And blessing and touching work so powerfully together. But I would just place my hands upon them and I would pray a prayer of blessing on them. And parents, I would encourage you to just take your children, touch them, lay your hands on them, and bless them. If it's first, it's just simply saying, bless you, son, bless you, daughter. But God might lay something on your heart specifically to bless them with or to bless them for. You know, your children need to be blessed. You know, a lot of our prayers, right, when we go to our Heavenly Father is, Lord, bless me. Lord, I need this. Would you bless me with this? In the same way that we need the blessing of our Heavenly Father, our children need our blessing. And then to comfort them. You know, children, junior hires, high schoolers, they have troubles. And we might think, oh, they're nothing compared to the things that we deal with in real life. But let me tell you, they're just as big to them as our problems are to us. And so we need to comfort them, sit down with them, cry with them if we need to. Just express, hey, I know how you feel. I'm here for you. Which goes along with the next L. First one was to love them. The second is to listen to them. So many times we want our children to listen to us. We want to have a conversation with them, but really we want to be the one conversing and we want them to do the listening. But sometimes they need a listening ear. And so we'll say to our child, hey, let's sit down, let's have a talk. Let's just have a heart talk. And the child starts out with the first two or three sentences, and then what happens is we take over. We want to solve all of their problems rather than just listening to them. And what we need to do is listen to their heart. Listen, let them talk it out. And sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait till they're ready to talk, but be willing to listen to them when the opportunity arises. Number three, the third L, is to lift them. We need to lift them up. There's a couple of ways that we can do this. One is by prayer. We need to be praying for our children. And the other is by way of encouragement. Play a little game. Try to catch your child doing something good. You know how many parents try to catch their child doing something bad, something wrong? Kids are going, yeah. Try to catch your child doing something good so that you can praise them in that. You can encourage them in that by way of encouragement. Now, you need to be careful how you're encouraging your child. If your child brings home straight A's, my parents never had to worry about that, but if your child brings home straight A's, you don't say, you know, it's so wonderful you brought home straight A's. I'm so proud of you. That's how we usually say that. I've learned something over the years. And it's good to recognize achievement. It's good to recognize the straight A's. But may I rather suggest something along the lines like, you know, John, Sally, Bill, Susan, you brought home straight A's. Dad is so proud of you. And I'm so grateful for the effort. I'm so grateful to God for the effort that you put in, the consistency, the determination that you put in to get that those kinds of grades. Because you see, you're praising them not just for the achievement, then you're praising them for their character. You're praising them not for something that they did, but for who they are. It's more important that we praise a child for character than it is achievement. Your child might never bring home straight A's, but they still deserve your praise if they're trying and their character is building and their character is growing. They still deserve your praise and your encouragement. Number four, limit them. One of the things I've learned is that it takes restrictions to set children free. And that's not a contradiction in terms. All children need to have boundaries. They need limitations. Even God, when he placed his children, Adam and Eve, in the garden, gave them boundaries that they were not to pass over. There were certain limitations. I know they don't have a lot of little Mickey Mouse rules, but have some strong rules that you're willing to stand by and live by. And it'll give your children a sense that they are loved. It will give them a sense of security and protection. And so sometimes we have to limit them because that's what's best for them. Many of them, they don't want the limitations outwardly. Outwardly, they will never say that. But Josh McDowell has done some surveying. Here's what he said. We included 7 statements in our study of church youth about objective standards of truth and morality. The response indicates, for the most part, our children echo the world's view. For example, listen to this, it really will break your heart. 57% of our young people cannot say that an objective standard of truth exists. These are church kids. 57% said there's no standard of truth. There's no right and wrong that's demarked clearly that exists. More than half. And 85% of our kids are liable to reason. Just because it is wrong for you, it doesn't mean it is wrong for me. So we've failed to pass on the reason why we hold to the standards and convictions that we do. We failed to give them understanding. And over half, 55%, agree that everything, listen to this, everything in life is negotiable. In other words, the idea of right and wrong is like a fluid that is subject to change. To me, that's frightening. Because the Bible says in Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We have to have a foundation of truth. And that's why, again, I hope you come out and watch the movie tonight. And if you don't watch it here, I hope you get yourself a copy and you watch it. Because it goes very right to the very essence of truth. And if we don't have truth at the beginning, For example, in Genesis 1:1, if we don't have the truth that God created the world, and this just happened by some chance, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The next L, I got to hurry, is to lead them. They're going to learn by our example. The best thing that you can do is set an example for your children. They're going to learn by observation. And children tend to learn by imitating what they have seen. And again, this is why we need to display godly character in ourselves so that our children can develop character. Listen, church, if the parent in the church doesn't develop character in the child, where is the child going to learn character from? Is he going to learn it in school in his class from his classmates? Probably not. Is he going to learn it from TV, Hollywood? Absolutely not. Is he going to learn it from the sports heroes today? Probably not. There are some out there that are outstanding people of character. But it's up to you and I to teach character. We have done this from the very beginning since we started homeschooling, is we have a class in character, and they learn definitions of character, and they learn examples of character, and patience, accepting a difficult situation from God without giving him a deadline to remove it. I'd be interested. With some of our older children, I bet if I sat down with them today and I gave them a word, they could pretty well come up with the definition, because we just drilled it into them and into them and into them. But we lead them. We took the class with them. We learn character together. And then laugh with them. You need to laugh with them. The house that rings with laughter has a greater sense of survival, I think, a greater chance of survival. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. Home is a place of tears, but it's also a place of laughter. In Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Our children need to see their parents have a smile on their face, even when they're struggling, even when they're going through difficult times. Don't let the child bear your burdens. And then lick them. No, gross. No, I don't mean slobber all over them. I mean, discipline them. I told you a couple of these are a little stretch. Learn to discipline the child. Why? Because it's a sign that you love the child. And because of human nature, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. I don't have time to go into this, but let me just share with you the rest here. That when we discipline, you need to start early. Yes, I believe in spanking, but only as a last resort. You talk, you plead, you do with what you can to the child, but sometimes spanking needs to be administered. And if we spank them, the Bible uses the word, King James uses the word, betimes. Now, what does that word mean? It really means to start early. Because if we start early disciplining our children, then we don't have to do it in later years. I think if we could administer loving discipline, they will learn much more in the first 11, 12 years of their life than they would have to learn the hard way through the rest of their life if we don't. And then be careful not to make idle threats. Administer it promptly. Husband and wife need to present a united front. Don't let your children pit one parent against the other. Do a good job. And by that I mean be consistent. It is work to raise children. It's hard to be consistent, but it's what we're called to do. And after it's over, don't hold a grudge to the child. Discipline and love always work for repentance of the heart. You don't want just a change of attitude. You want a change of heart. And then give more praise than correction. You should praise your child far more often than you have to correct. And that might mean you have to begin to look for things, look hard for things even, that you can praise your children for. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. What I would like to say is that if you're here and you're not God's child, let me tell you, he's waiting for you with open arms. He would love to be your heavenly father. In John chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, for as many as received him, to them they became the sons, the children, sons and daughters, children of God. You need to receive Jesus into your heart and life as your Savior. Receive his finished work on the cross and return home through repentance like that prodigal son to God, and he will welcome you with open arms. Is there anybody here? Say, Pastor, yeah, I'm a parent, but I need a godly parent. I need a heavenly father to help me in my parenting. I left him out of my life, but I don't want to do that anymore. I want to invite him in. I want to become a part of the family of God. Could I see your hand? Is there anybody? Anyone? All right. I'm going to pray for the parents. And then Pastor Josh is coming, and he's going to give you instructions on what to do with the backpacks, and he's going to pray for the children. I'm going to pray for you as parents right now. Father, I thank you for all of these parents. What a high calling you have given them. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom. Because there are times when it comes to raising children, we don't know what we should do. But Lord, your word says that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of you and you will give it liberally. You won't hold back. Give these parents wisdom. Give them consistency. Give them grace. Help them to do the right thing at the right time. So often we're tempted to do the wrong thing. We want to administer judgment when we need to administer love, or we want to just overlook the whole thing when we know it should be a confrontation that takes place. I pray, Lord, that you would help each of these parents to take the message to heart. They would discover the love language of their children, that they would learn to bless their children. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got it? All right. Well, let's hand out the back. Okay. Let's do the video clip. Go ahead. If you got it up, go for it.